Welcome to the Personal Perseverance Project. My name is David Atkins, retired New York State Trooper, million-dollar direct sales, international business earner, author, and keynote motivational speaker, where each week I come here to help you break through your excuses so you can live a life up to your fullest potential. Let the project begin.
That is my mindset. I operate on a level of excellence, and you guys need to wake up every single day, and you need to operate on a level of excellence and create your masterpiece.
What's up, guys? It's David here, and I'm super excited to come to you this week and talk to you about the New York City Marathon and a life lesson that I went through just this past year running the marathon in 2023, how I prepared, how unexpected things happened to me, and really how I handled them. And then like the big life lesson that I figured out at the end, so much so that it became so powerful that it was something that I have recently been sharing at my keynotes that I had both in December and just this past weekend sharing this story. But I wanted to come on here on my podcast. I kind of wanted to share this story with you guys, what I went through, what it took, and the story I'm sharing, and the life lesson and message I'm going to share. So let me start off by getting right into how this all came about. So about one year ago, I'm a big believer that you have to set goals for yourself. You know, you have to have a vision for yourself. They say the number one source of fulfillment is progress. I'll say that again. The number one source of fulfillment is progress. This is something I've heard Tony Robbins talk about, but it's also something that I personally, in my own life, have been through. Like so often in life, if you're feeling every single day like you're not feeling fulfilled, you're not getting you anywhere in life, life seems to be monotonous, it's probably because you have no progress in your life. You're not moving your life forward, whether it's with your health and fitness, whether it's with your career, whether it's with your relationships with your spouse or your kids or boyfriend and girlfriend. Like, it is so true. When I accomplish things, when I achieve certain things each day, when I check even things off a to-do list, you make a to-do list, you check things off a to-do list, that's a sense of fulfillment because you're getting things done. You have a sense of progress. So if you're kind of feeling stuck, it's probably because you haven't went anywhere in your life anytime recent. So for me, a year ago, I wanted to set a big goal. I wanted to go after and do something that I knew would be hard for me to achieve, but also something that's uncommon. I'm a big believer. I'm not trying to do what everybody else is doing. I'm not trying to go run certain things, or when in this case, the marathon. I'm talking about the marathon on the big goal, but I'm not looking to do what everybody else is doing. And I decided to say, you know what? I'm going to run the New York City Marathon because I know it's hard. I know the training is hard. I ran it 16 years ago and 19 years ago, and my goal was to beat my younger self. My goal was saying, you know what? At 46 years old, can I beat my time of 3 hours and 47 minutes? And I wanted to do it under 3 hours and 45 minutes, ideally between 3 hours and 30 minutes and 3 hours and 45 minutes. Can I beat my younger self? Like, can I go out there as an older person and do the training and beat my younger self? And guys, I'll tell you, I decided to commit to it, and I did it, and I got in through a great cause. I got in through the Special Olympics here in New York. For those of you that have been following me a while, and maybe one podcast, I'll do the episode and share about my best friend, David Brinkerhoff, Brink, who was shot and killed as a New York State trooper. And just before he died, he had one daughter. Her name was Isabella. And she was born with Down syndrome, and she's an unbelievable gymnast in the Special Olympics. So I decided to run for a good cause and raise money, and I got in through the Special Olympics, and I raised a good amount of money throughout the time through my training. So I set this goal a year ago. I set this goal to run the New York City Marathon, and then the 18 weeks of training had to begin. Now, for those of you that have never run a marathon, and probably that's the majority of you that are going to watch this because less than 1% of the world population runs a marathon. And that was part of the reason saying, I want to run a marathon because it's something I haven't done in a long time. And it's something that I knew was going to challenge me because I'm a big believer. And this is just fact. This is just real talk. As this whole, this episode, this podcast, all of it's always just going to be real talk. I am a big believer that when you push yourself physically in the gym, doing a hard workout, maybe it's running a 5K race, you know, and a couple months earlier, you weren't even getting off the couch. When you push yourself physically, the byproduct, yes, you will get physical results. Yes, you may get, you'll lose weight, you'll get strong, you'll get the physical results. But the byproduct is all of the things that happen for you mentally in a positive way. The byproduct is the discipline that you have to reach that goal, the training to get there, the discipline of going to the gym, the ability to handle adversity by doing something physical. Because let me tell you, there's no better level playing field than somebody that's healthy, fit, and strong. Why? Because there is no shortcuts to becoming healthy, fit, and strong. If you have somebody that has six pack, you know they are disciplined, you know, with their nutrition and their exercise, especially for people my age and older. Like when I hit 40, I'll be honest, it became so much harder. Like, yeah, the things I did in my 20s really weren't going to work for me in my 40s, right? So the thing is that for me, doing the New York City Marathon and having to endure the 18 weeks of training, I knew was going to mentally make me stronger. And I also knew the way I was going to approach training this time was going to be much different in a much more strict, better, more disciplined, consistent way. Why? Because I learned a lot when I did it last time and I'm a lot older now. Like I can't afford to, you know, half-ass it, I guess, as you want to say it. So for me, the 18 weeks in training, what is it involving? Why is it 18 weeks? The marathon training is 18 weeks because you have to run for about 5 or 6 days a week, and you have to build your leg strength up over the 18 weeks. And you run about 5 days a week. And then one of those days a week, normally it's on a Saturday or Sunday, you do what they call a long run. You do a long run. So week one, your long run may only be 4 miles, 5 miles, because during the week, maybe you're running 3 miles, 3 miles, 3 miles, then your long run, 5 miles. Now, you normally can't just start on week one. You do have to have some type of foundation base to start training for the marathon. So I'm always been a runner from my days of childhood and being a lifeguard on the beach. Like I just enjoy running. I love getting outside. I love the fresh air. I love the way I feel after a good run. So I've been running in the months prior. So I had the foundation, but week one, your long run may be 5 miles. Then week two, your long run may be 6 miles. Then week three, it will be 8 miles. Then it goes to 9 miles. And you build up by about 10%, no more than that, so you don't get hurt. And you build up for 18 weeks. And during that time for the training that I followed an intermediate training calendar. I followed a unbelievable marathoner guru. Hal Higdon is his name. You can look him up. I followed his intermediate calendar, and it had me running. The pinnacle is you really don't run more than a 20-mile training run. Anything over 20 miles is not recommended. So my training had me running 2 20-mile training runs over the 18 weeks. So I did this, guys. And I'll tell you, throughout my training, I was challenged. I had 9 keynote speaking events all over the country in 7 weeks. I was traveling. I was in Arizona in 100-degree heat. I had to run on treadmills. Let me tell you, there's nothing worse than having to run like 8 miles on a treadmill. It seems like eternity, but I was committed. So I was running a lot on the treadmill when I was traveling. I never missed a day. Like I kept my nutrition in check. And let me tell you, I had to push through so many long runs back home where I live in New York in rain and cold. My long runs were on Saturdays. It must have rained and been cold 80, 85% of my Saturdays that I did my long run. I remember getting out of the car in the cold and wet going, I have to run, you know, 15 miles and it's raining already. It was horrible. It was hard, but it took grit. It took perseverance. It took determination, right, to do it. And I can tell you, one of my 20-mile training runs, I want to share this story with you. One of my 20-mile training runs, it was pouring out. It was raining. I was 3 miles into my run. I was doing my training runs on a paved bike path. It's a trailway in the county that I live. It's very long. And I was doing my 20-mile training run. And my plan was I was going to go out 10 miles and I was going to come back 10 miles. So out 10 miles, turn around, come back. I was about three and a half miles in. And I came to a part in this trail. It's about as wide as a sidewalk, with woods on either side, and there was a little dip down in the sidewalk, and there was a puddle that was about 15 feet long. But by the look of it and looking at it, it only looked to be maybe an inch or two deep. So I said, okay, I stopped for a second. I'm going to leap maybe halfway through, be a little bit in the water. I'm going to leap again and try and make my way out. Well, I leaped in, and I was almost up to my calves in water. Completely soaked. Like, oh my goodness, I am soaked right now. I jumped forward out. Actually, I couldn't jump. I was like walking through like this huge puddle. And I got myself out. My socks were soaked. My sneakers were soaked. It was cold out. And I'm literally sitting here going, oh my goodness, WTF. What do I do? I started going through my head. Do I turn around? No, because I'm already 3.5 miles in. If I turn around, I don't have another pair of sneakers. I don't have another pair of socks. Do I call my wife and have her meet me with another pair of socks and a separate pair of sneakers? No. So I decided to keep going. And every 100 yards or so, I would stomp my feet like boom, boom, boom. And I'd squish them down as I'm stomping. And the water would shoot out the sides of my sneakers and from my socks out. And I did this for the last 17 miles. I constantly had to stomp my feet. But I said, you know what? This is part of the process. I think I've learned that so often in life, and this is the first thing I want to share with you, is that when things get hard, we give up. If we don't like a certain person, or we don't like the process, or if the training in this case was not what it thought it was, so often people quit. But for me, I knew it was so much bigger than me. It was for Isabella and the Special Olympics. It was for me being a role model to my daughters, because at the end of every long training run, I would pick my phone up and I would record a video. And I would record a video, a text message video I'd send to my wife and 3 daughters. And I would say, Atkins can do hard things. I would say, girls, I just ran 20 miles in the cold and rain, and 3 miles in, I was soaking wet. And I'm letting you know, we don't give up when it gets hard. We don't give up when we get challenged. We keep going, because struggle is less painful than regret. Let me say that again. Struggle is less painful than regret. And if I stopped and if I gave up in all of this training because it was too cold or wet outside, I know I would have regret later on. But at the same time, and I love this thing that I was developing, it's something that David Goggins talks about. He calls it building calluses on your brain. Building mental calluses on your brain. And building mental calluses is you are developing grit on your mindset. You are able to, you know, take what you do physically. In this case, me pushing through the marathon training is going to carry over to me in my everyday life. You know, maybe it's a keynote speaking event that I was excited about and I was going to get and I didn't get it. Maybe for you, it's that promotion at work you wanted to do and you didn't get it. Maybe you're going through a divorce in your marriage and things are falling apart and you have to just find a way to show up every day as a mom or dad. Or maybe you got laid off, or maybe you have no money and you're declaring bankruptcy. I don't know what it is, but I know this: by me enduring all of this training and the travel and pushing through the rain and the cold and running for 18 weeks, 5 or 6 miles, and never missing a day. And I battled shin splints and I had calf issues and I was going to a trainer to get treatment. By me pushing through when life comes at me, I'm able to handle it better because I developed those mental calluses. I developed that grit. And for me, like at this age of my life, the goals that I have, the vision that I have, the dreams that I have, I am so past like the physical benefits. Yes, it's great to feel good in your skin. It's great to look good in clothes. Yes, don't get me wrong. We all want that. I want that. But I am on feeling good. I want to get to another level in my life. And if I push myself physically, it's going to carry over to me mentally and how I show up in my life. So my training was hard, but I continued to show up. And then came Marathon Sunday. Marathon Sunday in New York City is always the first Sunday in November. It's always that time of year because it's usually not too cold. It's not too hot. Running a marathon, it cannot be warmer weather. Ideal weather is in the 40s, starting in the 30s, 50s. It can start getting too warm. But here came Marathon Sunday. I felt so prepared. I did everything right. I did all of my training runs. The days prior, I followed everything that I was told I was supposed to do. Like, I was ready to go out there and break my time from 16 years ago. And the first 13 miles, miles 1, miles 4, miles 7, 10, 11, 12, 13, I was cruising along. My marathon, my mile pace, I was doing around an 8:30, 8:35 mile. I was heading towards running a little bit over 3.5 hours in the marathon. I felt great. The energy was good. I had everything on my running belt. I had energy gels on me, which is part of how you fuel your body. I'm not going to get into marathon training, but everything was going right. And then at about 13.5 miles, I felt a little flutter in my right calf. I felt my muscle kind of jump a little bit. And I was like, what's that? And I kept running and I felt another flutter. And I got to about 14 miles and I kept running and then another little flutter. And then somewhere around the 14.5 mile mark, my entire calf locked up into a cramp, a Charlie horse, an excruciating, painful Charlie horse. I stopped dead in my tracks, was like, what is that? I quickly stretched and I kept going. And then it happened again. A quarter mile later, it happened again. And then it happened again. And then my right quad started fluttering. And before I knew it, I'm about 15.5 miles in, and my right quad cramped up and my calf, and they weren't both happening at the same time. And I was getting massive cramps in my right leg. And I was saying to myself, what is happening? Like, why is this happening? I would stretch. I'd have to walk a little bit. I'd stretch. I start running again. And then the unthinkable happened. The same thing happened in my other leg. My left calf started cramping. My left quad started cramping. Now I am going through a ridiculous amount of cramping Charlie horses in both of my legs. Sometimes at the same time, sometimes I'd have my left quad, my right calf. All I know is I was in excruciating pain so much that I was texting my wife through my Apple Watch saying, like, I'm literally in tears. But I refused to stop. Because at that point, the only thing crossing my mind at this point was, okay, I'm not going to beat my time. But my only thought was the finish line. My only thought was I am going to finish no matter what. Why? Because I reminded myself again. I reminded myself, it's not even about me. It's about the Special Olympics. It's about being, showing my daughters like that I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. And I kept going. But my friends, I was in so much pain. And at mile 20, my right latissimus dorsi, my right side of my back started getting a cramp. It completely locked up. And then just after that, I remember I was drinking a Gatorade. They have water and Gatorade stations. And I'm drinking and I started running again. And then my right forearm went in a Charlie horse. So now I had cramps in my right forearm, the right side of my back, and both my legs. And I had about 5.5 miles left. The marathon is 26.2 miles. It was brutal. And I ran the marathon, and I stretched when I could, and I went through, and I finished in about 4.5 hours. I think 4 hours and 34 minutes to be exact. So I was about 50 minutes over the time that I wanted to beat. And I was on pace to do it in an hour less. And I finished, and I had the medal, and it felt good to be done, and I smiled in some photos. But I want to share something with you, and this kind of gets to my message I want to talk to you guys about. For 2 days after that, I struggled. I was disappointed in myself. I was frustrated. I was grateful that I finished. I knew that I am somebody, no excuses is my motto. I wasn't going to give up. I was going to finish. I saw people lying on the ground, people that were giving up and quitting, and that didn't even cross my mind. But I was disappointed because I didn't even beat the time and everything was going right. And I said to myself, why? Why did this happen? So much so that I actually messaged the trainer I was using, Hal Higdon, and told him what happened, not knowing if he would answer me because I was thinking of going to run the Philadelphia Marathon less than two weeks later, and my legs were beat up. That Monday, my legs were beat up. And none of this that happened to me on Marathon Sunday ever happened to me in my training. I ran 2 20-mile runs. I ran on less rest. I had zero issues of what happened on Marathon Sunday. And I messaged Hal and I asked him about me potentially running the Philly Marathon. And he was like, absolutely not. Your body needs rest. But here's the thing that hit me 2 days later when I was disappointed and down. Life sometimes doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. Let me say that again. Life at times doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. I knew in that very moment, all of a sudden it hit me. It wasn't even about me at that point. My whole life, every time I go up and I speak and get on stage, it's not about me. It's about the people in the audience and helping people get better. This podcast, every time I record videos, it's to help you to get better. Every time I work with people one-on-one, it's to help to get better. Every time I was running every mile of the race, it wasn't even about me. It was about the people that I was running for in the Special Olympics. It was about doing it and showing my daughters that their dad can do hard things. It was showing my family we can do hard things. And in this case, I realized, what good is a story if I just went up on my next keynote and shared the marathon and just said, yeah, I beat my younger self. I did it in 3 hours and 35 minutes. Wow, that's great. But how much more powerful is a story to share with everybody that I didn't give up when it got hard? That we as human beings can do hard things. That understanding, and listen to this, what I'm going to share, the true character of a man, of an individual, of a human being is not determined by what you do when things are going right. Everybody knows what to do when things are going right. It's what you do and how you react when things go wrong. That's how a character is developed of a human being. It's what you do, how you respond, how you show up when you get knocked down. And for me, the message now that I can share with everybody, forget about the time. I'm here to share with you that you don't give up. You don't ever give in. You don't stop when life knocks you down. You have to keep going. You know, and my wife said to me 2 days later, she said, David, did you ever think at any point to stop at a medical tent? There were medical tents all over the course. Did you ever stop? And you know what? If somebody said, David, go in there, they can help you, and your rest of your race is going to be fine, I would have stopped. But this is my point. When you set a goal on something and you have a vision of something that's so big and you put your heart and soul into it, you don't have a plan B. There was no plan B. The only option in my race that I was focused on was one foot in front of the other. The only thing I focused on was getting to the finish line. I literally ran by those medical tents and I never went in. And my point to you guys is this: when you have a plan B, when you start something and you automatically set up a plan B, you are immediately settling for something else. You're giving yourself a way out. It was sound advice from my wife, but my thought, my mindset, I want you guys to understand, you almost have to be obsessed with your goals. You almost have to be relentless, because otherwise you're going to give up. You're going to stop. You're going to settle. You're going to allow excuses to creep in. And for me, it wasn't even an option. So for me, when I say life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. This happened for me so I can in turn take the message and give it to you. I could in turn go on the stage and speak at all my events this year and the one I spoke at this weekend and share a story going, I don't know what's knocking you down. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a death in your family. Maybe it's cancer. I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you to not give up, to not stop. To be strong, you're stronger than you think. That struggling is part of the process. That people are giving up too easy. That you're going to get knocked down, and to not give up whatever it is that you do. So for me, like, I learned so much there. But guys, my biggest life lesson, and I even talk about this in the title, I kind of put it in there, the biggest life lesson that I have that I want to ask you is this. I want you to recognize this, and I'm going to preface it with this. You may do everything right in your life. You may be the most honest person, hardworking individual, best mom and dad. You always follow the rules. You prepare yourself with 110% discipline. You do all the work, but this is the thing. You are still going to get knocked down at times. They say you're either in a problem, coming out of a problem, or there's a problem on the horizon tomorrow. So my question to you is, are you prepared for life? Are you prepared for the obstacles that life's going to throw at you? Because you're either coming out of one, you're in one, or there's one coming tomorrow. That's a fact. Are you prepared for life? And I can tell you, training for the marathon, this is just one example. The mindset, the things I had to develop mentally, the things that I had to develop to get through the training and to go through and finish the race with all that pain, all of that is carrying over to how I show up as a human being. So when you ask, when people ask, all right, David, so when you say, are you prepared for life? How can I be prepared? Guys, a couple of things. I can't say it enough. Taking care of yourself physically not only is going to help with your energy, it's going to help with your stress, it's going to develop mental strength. Okay, it's going to help you prepare when life throws things at you. You have to start taking care of your health. This is something that's probably going to come up a lot because there's so many benefits. And in this case, my marathon training gave me mental grit, perseverance, determination to get through. That carried over to my goals in my life. But then running the actual marathon and pushing through those hard times and learning it doesn't happen to me, it happens for me, I'm able to share a more powerful message. So the physical aspect is going to carry over. What else? What are you consuming in your brain every single day? Are you watching the news every single day? Are you caught up in the politics every single day, no matter what side of the fence you're on? Are you just consuming the sensationalism of the news? Are you just scrolling social media every day, looking at reels or YouTube shorts or just scrolling? Because that's not preparing you for life. What are you putting in your brain? The most important muscle in your body is your brain. Garbage in, garbage out. That's it. You need to guard your brain like a prison. What are you listening to in the car? Could you be listening to a good book on audio? What books are you reading? Are you reading a book that's going to help you face adversity? right? Have you read a book? Have you read my book, The Leveled Up Life, with all the success principles to help you? Yeah, I just name dropped my book. But the point being is it's going to help you. What are you putting in your mind every single day? And another piece, what food are you eating? Guys, I feel a direct correlation as I get older when I eat junk food, when I eat sugar, and I do that at times, it 100% carries over to my mood. And that's science. It's fact. What are you eating? And why am I saying all this? Because if you're not the best version of yourself, if you're not showing up every single day as the best version of yourself or working towards it, when life throws you a curveball and punches you in the mouth, how are you going to respond? Are you going to fold? Are you going to cower down? Are you going to say, okay, I control how I react. My attitude is a choice. My energy is a choice. I'm prepared because I've mentally put myself through hard things. I'm consuming things on how to handle adversity. I'm listening to books and reading books and how other people that have done it shared their words of wisdom with me so that I can do it in a better way. So guys, to kind of summarize what I want to finish here today is, are you prepared for life? And I want you to ask yourself right now, where have you been? Why are you here? And where are you going? Up until this point, where have you been? What trials and tribulations have you been through? Were you prepared in the way? Could, if you can take back time, would you have handled something differently? Why are you here? What are you hoping to glean? Like right now, present day, why are you here? What are your goals? What are your dreams? And how are you going about handling them? Because the person you are right now cannot be the same person to get you to the goals and dreams you want to reach tomorrow. You have to go through a growth journey. It's just the way it is. You cannot stay the same in your life. No human being stays the same. You have to will yourself forward. So why are you here today with your life and your goals? And then the question is, where are you going? What are you doing today and tomorrow to prepare you to reach those goals? What vision do you have? And you need to have a vision, because I started this off with saying the number one source of fulfillment is progress. So guys, I want to say, don't ever accept your life for what it is. Lead your life to where you want to go. Let me say that again. Don't ever accept your life for what it is. Lead yourself to where you want to go. Because if there's one thing you can't get back, that is time. All we have is today. There is no warm-up in life. There is no practice in life. We only have today. Every single day is an opportunity of a lifetime to improve your life, to get better in all areas of your life. But my question for you is, are you taking advantage of the lifetime of this opportunity? Meaning right now, the 24 hours that's giving to you today, are you letting them waste away doing mindless things that aren't improving your life? Or are you doing the things that are going to move your life forward? Take advantage of the opportunity of a lifetime, this thing called life. All right? Take advantage of it. So guys, that's my marathon story. We all have things in our life that we're going to go through. And let me tell you, if you're struggling right now and there's nobody that believes in you and there's people that aren't supporting you, I believe in you. All right? I believe in you. I've been through tragedy, losing my best friend. I've seen, you know, crazy things in my state police career. I've had ups and downs in business. I've had people that told me no. I've had haters and critics. I'm going to do another episode on dealing with haters and critics. They're out there. I've been around, there's drama and there's gossip. There's all that stuff. Just hang on there. All right? Follow the people. Listen, I'll end with this. Success leaves clues. Success leaves clues. So find somebody that has what you want and do what they do. Find somebody that has what you want and do what they do. Okay? So it doesn't mean necessarily the career maybe they're in, but if they have things they're doing in their life that help them be successful, success leaves clues. If I'm that person for you, great. But believe in yourself. I believe in you. Don't let people stop you. But again, are you prepared for life? What are you going to do today to prepare yourself for tomorrow? Guys, hope you enjoyed this episode. I can't wait to connect with you guys next week, and I will talk to you soon. Peace. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Personal Perseverance Project. My goal every single day is to help people live up to their fullest potential. So please share this episode, subscribe to my channel, and maybe even leave a review. Be sure to connect and follow me on all my social media channels. And if you would like more information about me potentially being a keynote speaker at your event, or maybe you want to work with me one-on-one as your private coach, be sure to go to my website at davidakinspeaks.com for more information. Thank you.